The word art leads me to my last claim, which is that the material surroundings of my life should be pleasant, generous, and beautiful. This, I know, is a large claim. But this I will say about it, that if it cannot be satisfied, if every civilized community cannot provide such surroundings for all its members, I do not want the world to go on. I do not think it possible under the present circumstances to speak too strongly on this point. I feel sure the time will come when people will find it difficult to believe that a rich community such as ours, having such command over external nature, could have submitted to live such a mean, shabby, dirty life as we do. It's profit which crowds people up into quarters without gardens or open spaces. Profit which won't take the most ordinary precautions against wrapping a whole district in a cloud of sulphurous smoke. Which turns beautiful rivers into filthy sewers. Which condemns all but the rich to live in houses idiotically cramped and confined at the best, and at the worst in houses for whose wretchedness there's no name. When there are no longer slaves, the people will claim as a matter of course that every man and every family should be generously lodged, that every child should be able to play in a garden close to the place his parents live in, that the house should, by their obvious decency and order, be ornamental to nature, not disfigurement to it. For the decency and order above mentioned, when carried to the due pitch, would most assuredly lead to beauty in building. All this, of course, would mean the people, that is, all society duly organised, having in its own hands the means of production. As to what extent it may be necessary or desirable for people under social order to live in common, we may differ pretty much according to our tendencies towards social life. For my part, I can't see why we should think it a hardship to eat with the people we work with. I console myself with visions of the noble communal hall of the future, unsparing of materials, generous in worthy ornament, alive with the noblest thoughts of our time, and the past, embodied in the best art which a free people could produce. Such an abode of man as no private enterprise could come anywhere near for beauty and fitness, because only collective thought and collective life could cherish the aspirations which would give birth to its beauty, or have the skill and leisure to carry them out. I, for my part, would think it much the reverse of a hardship if I had to read books and meet my friends in such a place. Well, I will now let my claims for decent life stand as I've made them. To sum them up in brief, they are, first, a healthy body. Second, an active mind in sympathy with the past, the present and the future. Thirdly, occupation fit for a healthy body and an active mind. And fourthly, a beautiful world to live in. And so take courage, and believe that we of this age, in spite of all its torment and disorder, have been born to a wonderful heritage, fashioned of the work of those that have gone before us, that the day of the organisation of man is dawning. It is not we who can build up the new social order. The past ages have done most of the work for us, but we can clear our eyes to the signs of the times, and we shall then see that the attainment of a good condition of life is being made possible for us. It is now our business to stretch out our hands to take it.